The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to the first show of this new year of Radio Wasteland, your favorite show about the paranormal. I am your host, Chauncey Hallworth, and this is my co-host, Kara Kittrick. Kara, do you have any news for us today?
I do. I've got a couple of items for you here. I'll just run down them
real quick. This week's action.
All right. So according to the National UFO Reporting Center, New Jerseyans reported 51 sightings in 2018, which sounds like a lot, but it's actually significantly fewer than in 2017, even though it's still a lot for almost any state. One such sighting was a report from an Emerson resident in June of a, quote, silver metallic sphere rumbling and spinning and moving at a steady speed. The full list of sightings can be found at the National UFO Reporting Center website in the index for New Jersey. Also, an unusually haunted building in Freeport, Maine has just gone on the market. The building houses the Jameson Tavern, which has a long history of peculiar events, including doors opening and closing by themselves, footsteps, banging, hauntings by a mysterious man in a top hat, and also by child ghosts. The building was built in 1797 and restored in 1981, although this did little to stem the tide of peculiar happenstance. Anyone looking for a nice haunted building in a misty, gloomy town where they can settle down will have to pay approximately $13 million for the privilege. And also, a British conspiracy theorist named Max Spears died at the age of 39 in Poland after taking the Turkish equivalent of Xanax for pneumonia, an inquest heard on Monday. Although he died in 2016, the inquest continues to this day. And shortly before he died, he told friends that a satanic cult was after him, the inquest found, although this was not an unusual complaint coming from Mr. Spears. The Polish prosecutor's office said the death was caused by natural causes and excluded participation of further persons. Although, of course, that is what they would say. Those are the only three things that happened last week. All other news stories were fake. Back to you, Chauncey.
I assume there wasn't much going on because things that go bump in the night were taking a week off.
Oh, I imagine. Yeah.
They got New Year's as well. You know, I got to say, even though it's less, 51 sightings in Jersey for UFOs, that is still about one a week. You know, that's a lot of UFOs.
Right. No, it definitely is, which is like, I saw 51 sightings and like, wow, that must be some kind of record. And then I actually went into the site and counted up the sightings for 2017 and I realized this is normal. If anything, it's less.
Right. And I mean, Jersey has more credibility this year because they're made fun of
less.
Does it? Well, they're made fun of less thanks to Florida.
Well, okay.
You know, anybody who watches late night talk shows knows that Florida apparently is now the punching bag of the United States.
Well, that's certainly true. And I don't know how many sightings they have in Florida. Although, of course, Florida is a significantly larger state, so
right.
It's not really a fair comparison.
Well, and I have a hard time, you know, laughing at all the jokes about Florida, because I don't really know any Floridians, and I've never really been to Florida, but
no,
it always
me neither.
Seemed nice. You know?
As far as I understand, they just have a peculiar law where basically all kinds of police reports become public that would not in other states. So you just hear about a lot more peculiar stuff happening in Florida as a result of people being imbeciles.
Right.
That presumably happen everywhere, but you only hear about them in Florida.
Right. The other thing from the news there, Turkish Xanax.
Turkish Xanax, yes.
So, as a movie nerd, during the 80s, there was this rash of Turkey ripping off movies and remaking them absolutely terribly and totally ripping off the copyright.
Well, now they're and ripping off drugs.
And one of the most famous is called Turkish Star Wars.
Really?
And yeah, and if you want to see something that is just absolutely terrible, Turkish Star Wars is like the worst movie ever made.
Oh, goodness.
And so as soon as you said Turkish Xanax, I'm just all like, well, you know, you get what you pay for, I guess. You know?
Yeah, so I'd never actually heard of Max Spears before, but I looked it up, and apparently, because he was a conspiracy theorist who died under circumstances that were mysterious at the time,
right?
It was kind of a big deal.
Right.
And I mean, people are still saying it was a big deal because, like, he was always saying that aliens are after him and Satanists are after him and that kind of thing. And admittedly, he did die at a young age, and no one was really sure why. So that is kind of odd.
Maybe they were after him.
Maybe they were after him.
We are a hodgepodge of sort of weird collections of ideals. Like, my wife is trying to cut back, if not quit, nicotine and drinking. And her reasoning is that she refuses to eat gluten and doesn't use any makeup that has parabens, yet for some reason will drink vodka. And, you know, and so she's like, why would I be doing this? You know, if I'm so opposed to this, why would I be doing this? And it rings very true to me as well. You know, like, why am I so harsh? It's like, I will sit there and complain about using plastic. I don't want to drink out of plastic cups. I don't want my stuff stored in plastic. I think it's unnatural and terrible.
Sure.
But then you look at the rest of my lifestyle and you're like, you know, I guess you're picking your battles, you know.
Well, you kind of are.
It's weird that this guy would just be all, everybody's out to get me. Oh, I should try the Turkish Xanax. You know, that's going to work out.
Well, he had significant problems with a wide variety of drugs, but which he blamed on aliens. Which, you know, maybe.
Right. Well, part of my news is, and I will discuss it with you later in some of the later segments. We'll get more into detail about it. But I've decided I need to lose some weight.
Okay.
So on top of all of my other fat jokes that I got, maybe I'll save them till the end. I'll tell you where this fat joke happened. I went to SAC Anime this week. Which is like an anime convention, cosplay convention in Sacramento, and, you know, got to see all my little kids and everybody dress up and run around and just be nerdy. And I got to say that there's an interesting thing that happens when you get a bunch of, like, hormonally charged teenagers and young 20s, like, in a room and up and down in an elevator.
Thunderstorms?
It starts to smell absolutely terrible.
I don't know that's weird.
It is just like, it smells like the gym locker room when I was a kid, and it's like this fancy hotel. Not too fancy, but I mean, it's the Sheraton Grand, you know.
Sure.
And like, it just smells like a big sweatshop. The sock was like wrung out in there, and I'm just like, oh my God.
Yeah, teenagers aren't great.
And like, I get home and like, for the whole next day, I'm, like, smelling it. It's, like, in my clothes. I think it's in my beard or something, you know. I get
anime musk.
Like, yeah, this anime musk is just, like. But I do have to appreciate. So I'm going up in the elevator, and there's this super tall kid dressed like a Power Ranger or something with a laser gun. And he's probably 17.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell his dad's there with him, who's just, like, this full-on, like, good old boy. You know, a beard, a gruff voice, and a camo hat, and, you know, your stereotypical good old boy. I'm not.
Is he dressed as anything?
No, but he was all, like, super polite and, like, interacting with his son, and you could tell he had no idea what was going on. And I was, like, watching this going, like, you know, even this guy really has come to the same realization that I've come to, and that is, regardless of how weird our kids are, they're not doing all the other terrible things they could be doing.
That is true.
At least they're just out there obsessing about Doctor Who and playing World of Warcraft. But all right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. When we come back, we have Dr. Rita Louise to talk about her new book, Stepping Out of Eden. Come on back. Somebody somewhere is fighting. So much to say, and a little back to say.
Four-time Grammy winner Roseanne Cash is coming to Reading. This Americana pioneer already has 11 number one hits under her belt. Now she's got a brand new album and is gracing the Cascade Theater stage in a duo performance featuring musician, husband, and five-time Grammy winner John Leventhal. Roseanne Cash at the Cascade Theater Thursday, January 24th at 7:30. Get tickets at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene.
But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Dr. Rita Louise. Dr. Rita, do we have you there with us?
You sure do. How you guys doing?
Good, good. I assume you go by Dr. Rita.
I do.
You do.
At least my good friends call me that.
Oh, can no. Can I be one of those for the next hour?
You sure can.
All right. All right. So, you know, I have to say, reading about your – there was a bit of a discussion here when reading about your book and what it was about for us to really sort of grasp what it was about. What it's about is basically asking the question of, was there some form of extraterrestrial involvement in human evolution? Is that correct?
Yeah, it kind of boils down to that.
Well, we were just trying to sort of understand where we were coming from. So we've seen a lot of books and we've seen a lot of things that sort of addressed that idea, but you seem to be addressing this idea from more of a mental sort of transcendental angle, from my understanding.
Correct.
Am I getting
correct?
Oh, good, good, good.
So I wrote a book prior to that called ET Chronicles, or it's also available at Man-Made, The Chronicles of Our Extraterrestrial Gods, that looks at the history of this planet based on the mythic record. And so the conclusion that I came from, really reading countless dry and boring and dusty books that no one would ever touch, was that there was an extraterrestrial presence on the Earth and that they had come and genetically engineered us. You know, so that was kind of that topic. You know, but I didn't really look at where we came from, how we evolved, because I don't have a better word, you know, from ape to man. You know, where did consciousness come from? Where did morals come from? Where did, you know, all the things that we see as being human versus, and I'm a Trekkie, so I'll have to phrase it this way, you know, there's a big difference when you watch Star Trek between, you know, humans and Klingons or Ferengi or Vulcan, you know, but Klingons act Klingon and Vulcans act Vulcan and humans act human.
Right.
And the question that I went into the book with was, why do we act human? What is that thing that ties us all together to having, you know, a cultural personality, I guess, would be a way of saying that.
So did you feel that scientifically there were holes in the way evolution was explained to us that needed to be answered?
When you look at evolution, it only really talks about physical evolution. It doesn't talk about social evolution. It just makes the assumption that we evolved socially and culturally in the same way that we supposedly evolved physically. But there really hasn't been anybody to address that topic, not that I found.
Yeah, that's always been sort of a an interest in mine is, even outside of the ET possibilities, the sort of idea that of ancient civilizations, the idea that for all mainstream science answers, we've been human in this form for pushing 200,000 years,
mm-hmm.
and yet during the first 175,000 years of that, nobody built a city, nobody built a civilization, nobody built anything. And that's always been sort of a big question in my head, because we had fire during that time. You know, there was never a time in human existence that we didn't eat our food cooked. Humans didn't discover fire. A pre-hominid did. And, you know, so
it was Homo erectus.
Yeah, I always find it just shocking that there's so much time went by without that stuff. So those questions are there for me as well.
Well, and where, you know, and I really looked at it because, you know, I believe that stories that come to us from myth or, you know, if we have concepts that transcend culture, you know, that are found globally, that tells us that, you know, it's probably more ancient.
Right.
And so, you know, I went looking for the first man, you know, who was the quote unquote proverbial Adam, culturally, you know, I mean, there's the genetic evidence, you know, that there was the, you know, mitochondrial DNA Eve that, you know, is 100,000 years old. And I'm not, you know, but even by that point in time, there was a certain level of culture that existed. We had fire. We had society. We wore clothes. You know what I mean? So there was already something there. So where do we have to go back in time? You know, where it predates fire, where it predates, you know, where it takes us more toward the, you know, living, you know, as animals, you know, as apes out there. And it's interesting because I ended up going back to Homo erectus. So.
Yeah, I agree.
So that's where I put it.
One thing that really sort of has always, and this is even a much shorter amount of time than we're talking about. One thing that's always sort of amazed me is sort of the flood myth. You know, here we are going all the way back to the Epic of Gilgamesh. Why has this been so ingrained in our society? You know, I get it in a world of books and tablets, but, I mean, we're talking, you know, this stuff has stuck around for an amazing long time for how fragile a lot of the things that these stories were put down on originally.
Well, and that story is there are two myths that are the most consistent around the world. One is the flood narrative, that if you go from culture to culture to culture, they're relatively the same, regardless of the distance. And the other story that is, you know, which tells you that there was something very culturally important that it was passed on from generation to generation. And then the other, and I'm going to say myth, but it's just really kind of a snippet that you find, is when the gods gave us fire.
Right. Yeah, they are all very similar, Prometheus. They all seem to be very similar.
You know, and if you read my books, I really don't say extraterrestrial in them. I say the gods, because that's how myth refers to these people, you know, as the gods. The gods taught us agriculture. The gods taught us the movement of the stars through the sky. The gods gave us fire. The gods taught us which plants were edible and which ones weren't edible. You know, and I joke around in the book. It's like, you know, we must have been a pretty dumb lot that they had to give us all of this stuff, which to me is they educated us, or certain select individuals within the community, of how to do these things.
Right.
You know, that we didn't figure it out. It wasn't like, there was a show, Mankind, the History of Us or something like that. It was, you know, on one of the cable networks.
And I think I've seen it.
Through the entire thing.
Yeah.
I literally, because it's like, well, Sally invented agriculture, and Fred over here invented trade, and I'm like, really? Could you make that up anymore? You know, and myth doesn't read that way. You know, it never tells that we figured it out, or, you know, it's always the gods gave it to us.
So what is it about this situation that really, you know, makes it so unbelievable that we didn't do this, and that we're really just sort of allegories and stories and so on about that? You know, what is it that really makes you think that this just isn't possible, that we did it ourselves?
You know, one of the way that I approach this book, so Stepping Out of Eden is this new book, and my last one, E.T. Chronicles, was I look for consistency. You know, consistency of storyline, consistency of concept. Mm. You know, so like the flood narrative, you know, extremely consistent. You know, so behaviorally, there are things that cultures all around the world do consistently. You know, and the one that I think that most people would understand and resonate with is body modification. You know, elongated skulls. Mm-hmm. You know, if it was something that one culture came up with and it spread, you know, from one area. So let's say it started in, you know, a certain area of Peru, and then it spread throughout Peru, that would be okay. Actually, I'll give you a better example. So foot binding in China. Happens in China, and you don't find evidence of foot binding in any other culture on the planet, period. You don't. Elongated skulls, however, you find on every continent. You know, so it says that they're, and, you know, from a cognitive perspective, why would you do it?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I've always had a lot of questions about that, because it just seems so torturous to your baby. All right, well, yeah. We're coming up on our first break here, Dr. Rita. You are listening to Dr. Rita Louise talking about her new book, Stepping Out of Eden, here on Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
You know my next-door neighbor, about to make me lose my mind. You know my next-door neighbor, about to make me lose my mind. They can't knock on my door unless they want to borrow something all the time. They want to borrow the broom, they want to borrow the mop, they want to know the time, so they borrow the clock. They want to borrow some lard and a piece of meat. They want to borrow some sugar to make the coffee sweet. They want to borrow $2 until payday. They want to borrow the liniment to rub the pains away. You know my next door neighbor, about to make me lose my mind. They can't knock on my door unless they want to borrow something all the time. They want to watch the fight and try to pick a winner. They borrow my television to come back and get my antenna. They borrow the lawnmower, they borrow the electric fan, they borrow the vacuum cleaner and the garbage can. They borrow a knife, fork, spoon, and plate. They borrow the counter off the wall to keep up with the date. You know my next door neighbor, about to make me lose my mind. They can't knock on my door unless they want to borrow something all the time.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family. Hi, this is Linda Bott. Join me starting January on Thursday evenings at 6 p.m. The show is called North State Now. North State Now is all things local. The first Thursday will be yours truly, interviewing musicians, artists, chefs, writers, and more. The second Thursday, enjoy the magazine and enjoy the store with James Posada and friends. The third Thursday will feature Dr. Orna Gill discussing women's health. The fourth Thursday features Heroes from the North State with Michelle Slay. That's North State Now, starting in January at 6 p.m.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. The joy of the Lord, or the affliction of evil, the choice is ours. We choose what kind of life we will live. When we choose to live for God, our life will find its joy and peace in Jesus Christ. The alternative is allowing the chaos of the world to dictate the outcome of our everyday life. Now is the time to choose. I encourage you to choose life, joy, peace, and the eternal love of God. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
Casey and Danny Dollar, owners of Top Dollar Films, are premiering The Dragon Unleashed in Reading January 9th at the Cascade Theater. The Dragon Unleashed is an action-adventure film starring John Schneider of the Dukes of Hazzard fame. Over 90% of The Dragon Unleashed was filmed in Shasta County with local actors and crew. The premiere will also include a raffle of movie memorabilia, including a rare Dukes of Hazzard lunchbox signed by John Schneider. Join us January 9th at 6 p.m. at the Cascade Theater for the premiere of The Dragon Unleashed. This film is rated for mature audiences. For more information, go to Top Dollar Films on Facebook.
I'm here with Mike of Estate Granite and Things. Hey, Mike, so I gotta ask, what's with the and things?
And things is anything that we can make with granite and metal.
So you're saying it's gonna last?
It's forever furniture.
Wow, did you come up with that one?
Absolutely. The and things are dining room tables, wine bistros, fire pit patio tables, and our ever-popular granite line roasters. Really, anything you can imagine inside or out.
You know, that store-bought stuff has to be replaced every few years. You know, it gets hot up here.
That's why we call it Forever Furniture. You can will it to your children.
Mike, with Estate Granite and Things, our builder of choice, thinking completely out of the box.
The first time I walked into my new kitchen, I was amazed. But after, I started to notice all the little things that make my kitchen unique. From the tile backsplash to the seams in the granite, everything was truly a work of art.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Estate Granite and Things, completely out of the box. Or visit us at estategranite.com.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried and true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Monday morning feels so bad.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. We're talking to our guest, Dr. Rita Louise, about her new book, Stepping Out of Eden. Dr. Rita, you know, we're talking about the parallels of mythologies across the world. And as a person who has grown up here in Western culture, I see a lot of those with Western cultures. But I'm always a little curious about the parallels between Western and Eastern cultures. So are there a fair amount there as well?
Mythologically speaking?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they have fire. Do they have flood theories?
Yeah. Right. I mean, definitely. You know, I wasn't prepared to talk on that, so it's like you're catching me a little off guard on that.
Oh, I'm that's all right. I've just always been wondering if they were actually there, if those comparisons were actually there. You know, hearing a yes is really enough for me to look at more given the amount of time.
Let me touch on that a little bit from a different perspective.
Okay.
You know, so when I was doing my research, there were certain story narratives that were relatively intact. You know, so we have the Enlilu, Elish, the Sumerian creation myth is intact. You know, we have Greek mythology, which is relatively intact. We have what comes out of the Bible, and I'm just talking up to the flood in Genesis, relatively intact. You know, and if you start looking at those stories and putting them next to each other, they're very parallel. And there are certain pieces, the concept of the sun, moon, and stars being put in the sky, which is like the fourth day of creation. You know, the story of the flood, the concept of a golden age. You know, so there are these concepts that are very consistent through those narratives. You find the same thing coming out of South America in the Popol Vuh, you know, a very similar narrative. And so what I did was I took these key concepts and kind of like made a giant spreadsheet, you know, it started with in the beginning and ended with basically the flood and said, okay, you know, sun, moon, and stars in the sky, you know, flood story, and just started digging for stories that made references to these key concepts. And what I found was if you look at the narrative before the key concepts and or after the key concept, they were parallel. They were very similar. And so, you know, so even though the details might be somewhat different timeline-wise within their cosmology, they fit. You know, in the Bible, well, it's not even in the Bible, you know, like God's in heaven and Satan's down there.
Right.
You know, and that story kind of comes through in the book of Revelation. And in Greek cosmology, we have the story of Zeus fighting the Titans, you know, and the leader of the Titans was Cronos, who was the former head ruler, who is a fertility god, who is represented in Greek art as being a half man, half serpent. So if you look at some representations of him, he has kind of like a centaur, the upper body of a man, and he has two snake-like legs. And there is this battle that happens between the sky gods, Zeus, and the gods of the earth, Cronos. Cronos loses, and he's sent into the depths of Tartarus, which is the Greek hell. You know, so
right.
Again, we have these beings that live in the sky battling these beings of the earth or the underworld with the beings of the earth and the underworld losing. And so that's actually another very consistent narrative that we find is, you know, the usurping of power by these, you know, celestial characters versus ones that are more tied to the earth and water. You know, so that's another major narrative that you kind of find through these storylines.
You know, that actually brings us full circle to what we were talking about, because with what little I know of, you know, Eastern mythology, that does also seem to be a common thread in a lot of their mythologies as well.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just kind of mind-blowing, and you really have to have a bit of an open mind, you know, because, okay, so you have this big graph, you know, and you put in your major story, major points, kind of down your graph, and then you start looking at other cultures, and so this culture might have this piece of the story, and this culture, you know, and then they might not have a whole bunch, and you start plugging in the pieces that have survived. I mean, because there's a lot of our history that has not survived because it was abolished, and,
right.
You know, by the European expansion and the loss of Alexandria, you know, and it's just gone. You know, and so sometimes you get a very different perspective on what that narrative is. So, for example, and this is one that I talk about in Stepping Out of Eden, is kind of using it for dating, but I'm not going to get into that whole thing because that's a little bit of a long story. But the story, which I'm sure you've discussed on air before, is the biblical thing that talks about, you know, and in those days the Nephilim walked the earth, and then the sons of God, you know, mated with the daughters of men, and their children were the men of renown. You know, so that's the biblical quote. And I looked for a long time to find a parallel. You know, I thought it was just some weird story that would just stay in the biblical narrative and wouldn't really, you know, kind of like the foot binding. You know, it's a Christian narrative, you know, a Jewish narrative, and that's it. But I actually found a parallel in the Ramayana coming out of India, speaking of India. And so the Ramayana is the story of Rama, who is the, I have to sit here and think, the eighth incarnation of Vishnu, which is their supreme god. And he incarnates so he can battle the demon god of Lanka. And so Vishnu knew that Rama was going to need a military force to help him fight this battle. And so before he was born, he sends, and this, I love this, so he sends the gods from the heavens down to the earth to mate with the apes and bears on the planet and to create these demigods who have advanced knowledge and advanced skills and actually create this army and help Rama to defeat the demon god of Lanka. And, you know, and I just thought it was interesting because in the biblical narrative, it's a torrid affair. But in the Ramayana, it's something that, you know, God, Vishnu, told him to go do.
Right. I got to say that Rama story is like the best movie I've never seen. You know, you're right. That is like a great and totally interesting story. I wish there was a great movie of it, you know.
Well, you know, I'm one of those weird people. I read all three volumes, original verse, you know, in the poetic form. And it was actually a really good, however long, story.
Right, yeah. And so that's always the interesting thing is when we hit India, we seem to be hitting, once again, I'm coming from an angle that's not very well educated on the cultures of the other rest of the world like I'd like to be, but in the case of India, we seem to be coming on something that's very well documented compared to a lot of other cultures.
Yes, you are exactly right. I mean, they actually are kind of prolific. And to make it through all of their texts is, there's a lot.
Yeah, it's an accomplishment.
You know, and I've tried reading the Mahabharata several. I've made several attempts. I mean, it's 15 very big volumes. And it's just like, I haven't ever made it through the first one because it's not really like a regular just story. Like the Bhagavad Gita, I think, is book number 13, and it actually is a story narrative through the whole text. But the other books, it's like, it's this story here, and then this story, and we're jumping over here, and it's just like overwhelming and huge.
Right, yeah, absolutely. I've been interested, but you know, daunted because of that same reason. Dr. Rita, we're coming up on our next break here. You're listening to Dr. Rita Louise here on Radio Wasteland talking about her new book, Stepping Out of Eden. Come on back.
combinations were just meant to go together. Chips and salsa. Refrigerator and freezer. The internet and cat videos. At State Farm, there's another combination meant to go together. Home and auto. As in combining your home and auto insurance with one agent. Which leads to another combination, saving dollars and cents. Your State Farm agent is here to help life go right. Combine home and auto and see how much you can save.
Contact Jeff Avery at 243-4600. License number 0D09479.
KCNR rolls into 2019 with great changes to our programming. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McLean News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your town hall of the Shasta County Airwaves. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, it's the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, 1460 a.m. and soon on 96.5 FM. Now, more than ever, we are your locally owned, community-connected radio station. Winter is coming. At least that's what the calendar says, and the nights are getting cooler. So you don't want to put off having your monitor or Toyotomi heater and water heater serviced, and SST Oil are the people to call today at 241-1167. Stay warm and cozy when the temperature drops by having that system checked and fresh fuel delivered. SST Oil delivering to our firefighters, and they'll bring that same dedication to your home. SST Oil, Windham Lane in Reading, 241-1167.
Hi, Michael with Hokumas, where Redding shops for the best buys in vacuums and helpful home cleaning products. Got hairy pets? Stop by Hokumas and ask to see our exclusive pet hair and lint removal tool. The Forget It tool by Ricar is perfect for cleanups on upholstery, carpet, even that dark shirt or blouse your pet's fur loves to cling to. And for those bigger home cleanup jobs, check out our line of Ricar upright and canister vacs that feature rugged chrome steel brush rollers, not the disposable plastic kind. These rollers always give you the best cleaning results ever. Want to save time vacuuming dirty carpets? Drop into Hokumas and check out Ricar Tandem, the latest technology in vacuum cleaners. Either upright or canister style, these super machines clean with dual motors for a faster, deeper clean. And while you're here, try out the best performing convenience upright we've ever found. Ricar's super lightweight vacuums will clean your house with time to spare. No back-breaking vacuuming anymore. These great vacs make for the most convenient upright vacuum ever. Hokumas on Bocelli Lane in Reading, 223-1970, online at Hokumas.net, or like us on Facebook.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Are you tired of worrying if your business will survive till the economy gets better? Worry no more. The Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce has the tools to help you with your small business. From valuable networking events to educational seminars, we are here in your community. People do business with people they know. Get closer to your future customers by joining the Reading Chamber of Commerce today. As a member, you will participate in referral programs, member-to-member discounts, free listing on the Chamber website, and your company name listed in our business directory with a distribution of 5,000 copies to potential customers. Call us at 225-4433 to find out how you can meet your new customers and build your business.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. We're talking to our guest, Dr. Rita Louise, and we're talking about her new book, Stepping Out of Eden. Dr. Rita, so which way are we leaning here? You know, are we leaning to extraterrestrials, or are we leaning to an actual spiritual God? And if so, why are we leaning to one or the other?
And that's a great question. And so I'm going to give you a very not specific answer. So when you look at the stories, okay, they appear that the gods that we encountered were actually physical beings. You know, they talk about crafts in the skies, and they talk about, you know, these interactions with these individuals.
Yeah, sexuality. I always thought was a weird thing to put on it.
Yeah, the whole technology thing, exactly. Mm-hmm. And it, without having some level of physicality in this world, there would be no way for them to do any kind of genetic engineering on us. You know, spirits can't gene mix. This don't work. At least not that I've ever seen. But they would be some really good ghosts. You know?
Right. Well, why are we talking gene changing instead of just talking the sharing of information? Like maybe they could come down here and share the information. Why are we talking a physical change caused by them?
Because there definitely was some very specific genetic engineering. And I do believe that that story that came out of the Bible or the Ramayana was a true tale, that there was a genetic, you know, onrush of genetic material that happened.
Right.
I do believe that.
Yeah, and of course I don't expect anybody to know. I realize that, you know,
we don't know, but, you know, it just seems like between Homo habilis and Homo erectus, you know, and the time difference between the two species wasn't all that much. And scientists can't figure out how we had so much development that happened, with, you know, including losing our body hair, increased brain size. We started to live in small societies, and there was the early signs of culture. We had access to, we could control fire now. You know, there was like major improvements that happened with the advent of Homo erectus that they can't explain, you know, and they just try to like just put it over there. Well, you know, it was a miracle. You know, and so that's one part. And so here's my kind of cryptic answer. You know, ancient cultures and even contemporary cultures have and still do perform rituals. I mean, obviously, when you're talking about indigenous cultures or, you know, more ancient cultures, you know, like we think like a Native American ritual or, you know, something to that effect, you know, and all of those were done in order to support individuals within the community to enter a ecstatic state. And so many of the things that you would see tied to ritual were to help support the generation of this energetic setting that would help propel these specific individuals. I mean, unless they were using drugs, which was, you know, like some kind of hallucinogenic drug, but not always, in order to take them to what the Sans people of Africa called the first world. You know, and so like Graham Hancock talks about his ayahuasca trips and, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And meeting the gods and stuff. And that's what they did. And they would go to this alternate reality, and interact with, you know, I'm going to put this in quote, gods, ancestors, you know, these different spiritual beings. And they would go there for information. They would go there for communion, you know, like shaman would go there into that space in order to find out how to heal somebody. You know, they would get guidance for the community or group. We don't know, or there's not enough documentation, whether in this dream world, you know, in this ecstatic state, because I don't want to call it a dream world because it's really a heightened state of our personal consciousness, you know, if they don't have ships in there, you know what I mean? And magical weapons, and do they have wars going on in this ecstatic state, you know, this non-three-dimensional world?
Right.
You know, which I parallel to, you know, some dimensional plane that you would liken to a ghost or a spirit guide or, you know, some non-corporeal being that these people were intent on communicating with, because that is one of those very cultural things that you find in every culture on this planet.
Well, we don't have too much more time here. So the question I definitely want to get in before we get to the end here and I realize it's speculative, but what would the purpose or the reason be to alter us? I realize in the Rama story, it seemed to be to fight a war for them. A lot of people sort of speculate slavery for work. You know, what are you seeing the reason as possibly being?
I mean, I don't like the slave word. I don't like that word.
Nobody does.
Just, yeah. Well, no, but I mean, just, you know, yeah, I see what you're saying. You know, but you can use a different word and it seems more appropriate. Instead of using slave, I think that we were bred as a domesticated species.
I see. Like a pachyderm. We were domesticated animal. Yeah. I see.
You know what I mean? And so, like, right. I mean, I guess there are people that are out there that whip their horses and beat their cattle. You know what I mean? There are people out there that do that, but not all of them.
Yeah.
And when you look at the mythic record, and, you know, we spent a lot of time remembering prayers, mm-hmm. you know, for the gods to intercede on our behalf for something, rain, crops, whatever. There aren't any stories of us asking the gods to intercede on our behalf so that we don't have to do some kind of labor.
Right, right. Because my dog would worship me for food. I mean, I know it sounds ridiculous, but I mean, given the right level of consciousness, he might worship me as a dog for, I mean, as a god for some dog food. Because, well, I mean, I know it sounds ridiculous, but I mean, I get the idea that he's a domesticated animal. I treat him very well and he eats food and he doesn't understand much beyond that. I get that. That actually makes sense, and it's actually a better explanation than I've gotten for the purpose in the past.
Too.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, we're here at the end of the show. I'd like to spend a little time having you tell our audience where they can find out a little bit more about you and about where they can get their hands on your book.
Sure. So the easiest way to find me or contact me is by going through my website, which is soulhealer, soulhealer.com, soulhealer.com, or type Rita Louise into any search engine. I'm everywhere. all of my books are on that webpage. There's a bunch of articles and videos. I mean, I really welcome you to come and check it out and take a schmooze through my stuff. And, you know, the books are available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com, but they, like, want way too much money from the authors. So, you know, I ask that you come to my website and purchase it, and it does come signed.
All right.
Bam.
Well, thank you very much for being on our show, Dr. Rita. You've been listening to Dr. Rita Louise here on Radio Wasteland, talking about her new book, Stepping Out of Eden, and you can find out more about that on soulhealer.com. Thanks for checking us out.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life,
your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.